When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to Sewing Out Loud, the official podcast of ZD Sewing Studio. Here are your hosts, ZD and Mallory.
Sewing Out Loud.
Hello, welcome to the podcast. I'm Mallory Donahue.
And I'm ZD Donahue.
And we are doing a follow-up episode from our previous episode, and this one is about professional sewing machine service. Sewing
right.
machine repair
this is
and
where
service.
You don't take it apart and have extra parts left over.
That's right. Good segue
you
from
like
your cliffhanger.
I'm segueing.
We'll try not to go off on too much of a tangent at the beginning of this one. So this is my tangent. You get to have the tangent on
okay,
the next one.
I just
one.
Want to explain something. That yeah. segue isn't always one of those little motor things that people stand on to get around.
Okay.
Segue has another meaning too.
Okay.
Just so everybody
I think
knows.
They're spelled differently.
I don't know if they are.
The brand name is not spelled
but
in the same way.
But we didn't spell it, so nobody knows which word we're using.
Well, what I'd like to ask you to do, if you're enjoying the podcast and you listen to us through iTunes, oh, that's not what it's called anymore, Apple Podcasts, excuse me, I'll get in trouble.
Well, and by the time somebody listens to it, it may be called something else.
That's right. So if you're listening to us on Apple Podcasts, if you could please rate and review us, it is very helpful to our show, and it's free for you to do. What you have to do is go to the search function of your Apple Podcasts app, search for the podcast, and it'll show up. And you're like, what do I do now? What you have to do is scroll down a little bit, and then you'll see a spot with stars. And you can give us stars, and you can give us a review, and you might have to log in again with your Apple ID. And I know it's not easy, but it's so helpful. So if you're looking for a way to support the podcast that only takes you a minute or two, that's something that you can do. Okay, well, let's move on to professional sewing machine repair. Mom.
Okay.
So we used to own a sewing machine dealership, right?
We did.
We did. We don't anymore. It's been 1 year exactly.
Oh, wow. Like 1 day, 1 year, 2 days ago,
yeah,
or 3 days ago.
Something like that.
It was April Fool's Day.
That's right.
We became April Fools instead of sewing machine owners or sewing machine dealers.
So I think that our lease is actually up like March 31st,
right.
But our landlord let us like have the weekend to clean.
Well, we got April Fool's Day to clean because we were fools and it was on a Sunday, I believe.
Yeah. So it was very kind to us.
Right.
So we used to have a sewing machine repair department, like area in our store, right?
We called it service.
Yeah, the service center.
But we were giving service all over that place, let me
that's
tell
what,
you. All
service,
kinds of service.
Service everywhere.
That's right.
Service coming out our eyeballs.
no joke.
So our tech would sit, it was in the back, our like the back, I don't know, quarter of the store, third of the store.
Yeah, it was a lot.
Had a wall.
Because we did a lot of service. So there was, he had his own little area with a window to the outside, like, you know,
and we
floor
weren't sure
of the shop.
How often the window made us or the tech happy and how often it made us or the tech sad.
And it did both.
Because sometimes maybe the tech didn't want someone to know he was there.
Well, okay. Number one, the tech has been trained.
Okay, so let's talk. Just hop into
okay.
it. Okay.
And he has had, or at least he should have been trained. Let's
he
put it
she.
This way.
Our tech was a he. Right.
Except I would work on machines and Mallory would work on machines.
Yeah.
But, okay, a real tech in a dealership, especially if it has a manufacturer's, you know, what should I say, endorsement. They have a dealership contract, right,
yeah.
with the sewing machine company. And it says they must have a trained tech, okay, on their premises. And this means trained in that specific machine,
right,
actually. So, like, we were baby lock dealers, and we had been other dealers, too. We had been a multi-dealer at one time. But we were baby lock dealers, and our contract said we had to have and it meant trained by them.
Right.
You know, so that now our tech was trained on multiple machines.
Okay. Yes.
You know, he had gone to other trainings and he had been trained by our former tech and things like that. And it cost me a lot of money to get him trained. I want you to know that. Okay. You just don't pick someone off the street and all of a sudden you have a servants department.
That's right.
It costs money.
And
time and energy. There's a lot of investment.
And a lot of people want their machine to stay in the store they bring it to, understandably. That's not always the case for every service center right. you go to. But it was the case for us.
It was for us. We did not transport machines out.
And that meant that we were paying rent
on that space.
So this all, I guess...
It also meant we didn't make any money on service.
So before we get into that kind of like bitch fest, right? This is all precluding when someone says... I don't think the service should cost this much.
Or someone says, I want to go back to the tech and ask him how to fix my machine.
Right.
Okay? No. Do you go in and ask your doctor how to take your kidney out? No. He went to school. He paid for it. He put in his time. He has an expertise. Don't do that.
Well, also...
It's not nice.
We would tell people what they needed to know.
To use
their machine.
We gave people a lot of free service.
And we also, you know, a lot of times we could catch things. We couldn't catch it all the time.
No.
We didn't always have the time. If there were a bunch of customers in the store, I couldn't troubleshoot someone's machine at the counter.
Right.
You know, but if I had time, I'd try to do it, you know. Yeah, you can't go and say, hey, can you tell me how to time this machine? And you want him to take an hour of his time to teach you and make sure you know how to do it or something. That's inappropriate to ask.
It's totally inappropriate.
Yeah.
You don't go in and ask a mechanic, you know,
show me how to do
this on my machine. Now, I remember telling someone one time that the tech would probably be happy for $2,000 to show them how to time their machine. I mean, it was almost ridiculous. And, you know, for free, tell me how many times you go to work and you say to your boss or whoever signs your paycheck, hey, I'm just going to work for you free today.
Right. No. No.
Think about that. It's his job.
Also, the tech would be there in the window and he'd be working on something, right?
Right.
He had, like, things to do.
Right.
So you can't always stop and drop it. And I want to talk about wait times.
And our tech did talk to people. And after he went through their machine and everything.
Yeah.
Oftentimes, if it was something that's kind of quirky or unusual, he would call them up and he would tell them. And we also had a form that he filled out that stayed in a record on our computer. You got it. We got it. He got it. That told you what he found in or about. So you had information about your machine.
I think that we ran a pretty good service department over there. We didn't get a lot of complaints.
No.
The one thing that people would sometimes complain about was the turnaround time.
Yeah.
And so I want to talk about turnaround time a little bit. A few people, this series of podcasts, these two podcasts, came from a post about someone asking about this. And a few people were like, you know, I want to get mine serviced, but it's going to take 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Right.
And I can't give up my machine for that long or something. And I understand that. But, you know, generally, we would tell someone that their estimated turnaround date was 2 weeks.
Right.
Now.
We under-promised and over-delivered.
Sometimes it would get finished faster. But when someone would say, why are you telling me this? Okay. Mm-hmm. Or why is it 2 weeks or that's ridiculous or something? Well, first of all, you can't lie to people and say it's going to be ready before it would be.
Right.
You know, okay. And why we would get backed up is we serviced machines for theaters,
for the world. Yes.
For people who had 6 machines and they would plan, and this is what you should do. When you go on vacation or when you can take a break, they would bring in all 2, 6, you know,
whatever machines,
12 machines, and those would be in line first, and that's how we did them. We did them by order of
and oftentimes intake. In the summer, we would have school machines, so somebody could bring us 30 machines in one day.
Literally.
Now, we had 3 months to get them fixed, thank goodness.
And we would try to do that. But when you think about turnaround time, a sewing machine tech, okay, we just talked about how it's not really big money, right? A sewing machine tech will be working on their own oftentimes. Maybe there's only one tech.
And they're often, yes.
Okay. It's not like a Jiffy Lube.
No.
Okay. And what, if you bring your car into a Jiffy Lube and it can't get everything fixed in 30 minutes, it doesn't get fixed.
No, they tell you to go someplace else.
Yeah, they say, hey, go someplace else.
So, we can't get out your oil plug, but we're not going to fix you.
That's right. Yeah. So that's not what we were doing. So turnaround time, I think it can be longer than some people expect, but that's why I think that happens in our industry.
And what we did find out, because the best thing about having conventions and meetings with dealers is you got to talk to other dealers.
Sure.
From other areas, from your own area, whatever. But what we found out is 2 weeks was more than reasonable. Okay.
It seemed
many people were a month out, and oftentimes our tech would turn a machine around in a week.
Yep.
And people would say, well, I want to make an appointment so I can just come in and you can fix it while I wait. Doesn't work that way.
It can't always happen.
It just really usually does not work that way. First of all, somebody's been there before you.
Right.
Okay. There are machines in a line. Now, we did have rush fees. So if you were desperate, you could pay a premium and, you know, he might stay over. You know,
well, and that's what you're paying for, right?
You're paying for his time. You're paying for his time. That's the text time and whatever his premium is to do that. You know, if you're willing to pay that, my suggestion is have a backup machine. Like if you say, I cannot live without my sewing machine. Well, that would be similar to, like, I can't live without my iron lung.
Or my car.
Yeah, I would have I'd have a backup iron lung if I cannot live without my sewing machine.
Now, you might say, oh, that would be in a dealer's interest, wouldn't it, to tell you to have a backup machine?
It doesn't have to be.
Well, okay. We're not dealers anymore.
Yeah. We're sewing people.
Yes.
So we have like 6 backup machines.
Yes, we have backup machines. It's a good idea.
Right.
But a bit of planning is good.
Well, yeah. And what I was going to say, when I say a backup machine, so oftentimes when someone would come to trade a machine in, I would mention that to them.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you're an avid sewer. I know you want to trade this in. You know, a trade in, you never get what you want.
Sure.
Okay. I mean, everybody always wants more than they get. But, you know, depending on the type of machine or whatever, I would say, do you want to keep it for a backup machine? Or sometimes I would say, there's this other small machine and we can work a deal where you can have this little backup machine that doesn't weigh a lot that you can take to retreats with you and not blah, blah, blah. So
backup machine can be good. So turnaround time, that can be a B for a complaint. That's why it happens.
Yeah.
The process, we kind of started talking about our take-in process. Mm-hmm. So when you bring your machine in, you need to bring the power cord.
And the power pedal. That's power the pedal. Thing that's on the floor that makes it go.
Okay. You should bring a presser foot that allows your machine to do
a zigzag.
You know, it allows the needle to swing, right? You should bring your bobbin case and your bobbin you were using. Okay. These are the things you need to bring in so that we could make sure that everything was working properly.
If you have an embroidery unit, you bring that unit and you bring a frame, the hoop that fits on that embroidery unit.
Because we'll talk about this later in the process about testing, right?
Right.
So we'd check everything in. We'd try to make sure there's a list of accessories. We wrote down the machine serial number.
We did.
So that we could make sure that it was the right machine.
That's right.
We have a couple funny stories about that. Okay. Yes.
And everything got tagged. Everything got tagged.
Names on everything. Okay.
If we couldn't figure out how to get on there, you know, it went on there with a piece of tape.
Painter's tape.
You know, but we did have, and we had a little pocket that, you know, got attached to your machine that all this information went in. This thing was filled out and you got a copy of it.
That's right.
And we got a copy and you got a copy.
And that's why it's important to remember, like, it's like sewing machines are kind of a small part of some people's lives. But they are complex things to service and to maintain. You know, you don't just drive up in your car and drop off the keys with this. You know, it seems like I've dropped off many a car to be serviced, and I thought it was easier than dropping off a sewing machine, you know.
Well, the car is sort of self-contained.
That's right.
A sewing machine has accessories.
Yeah.
Now, you say, well, don't you have a power cord? I have that same machine right there on the that you have on the floor. We do. And we can pull that power cord and we can use it. But you know what? What if something's wrong with your power cord?
Right.
I would want it, you know, now I would want to know my power cord
worked. Yeah.
Yes. I want to know my power pedal worked. And you say, well, my machine works without the power pedal. You know? Yes. And I guess if you never use your power pedal, mm-hmm. you don't care if you bring it in. But why not bring it in? Because that's included in the service to make sure that that works with your machine.
That's okay? all part of it.
I would want to know that it worked. And I'd want to know it was my power pedal that worked with my machine. Also, people will bring in the power pedal that goes to another machine.
That's right.
That happens too. So if you're at home, you need to somehow code all of those, you know, wires and pedals and gizmos and know which machine they go with.
Okay. Also, we would, you know, tag everything, talk to people about what was going on with their machine. And this is where we had a few options, and this was always confusing to people, and I didn't really like, explaining it in depth back then, but I guess I'm going to do it one more time now. And, you know, it wasn't as difficult. Sometimes it was hard to get the, like, our employees to understand or to communicate this, you know, get this across. So people would sometimes, you know, balk at the clean oil and adjust fee, right? So let's say it was $84.95, I think is what it was. This was your machine gets naked in the back. It gets fully cleaned, fully oiled, retimed. Feed dog height would be recalibrated. A new needle. Everything would get cleaned and, you know, make sure that all the stitches are working properly, you know. So I think did we have some different fees for, like, mechanical versus computerized at one point? And then I think we, like, stopped doing that.
I think we stopped doing that because, really, it took the same amount of time.
It took the same amount of time to take the machine apart.
We decided the time, you know, what time is the... Now, big machines, like single-head, multi-needle embroidery machines, mm-hmm. had a different price.
That's right.
We thought about it, and mm-hmm. I think most people do when they price this, was in terms of tech time.
It's definitely tech difficulty.
And another thing even about the big machines is it would take two of us to move it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if he wanted it moved to a bench or wanted it moved out of the way, he'd have to wait for, can you get on the side of this?
Move that stuff while you're pregnant.
And we used to have to move that stuff out of people's cars.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of people, this is another thing, and most sewing machine dealers will do this for you. Like, you could not park right in front of our store. It was like a roadway away. Not a roadway, but
sidewalk.
A driveway. Well, it was a driveway away because the cars drove in front of the shop.
Yes, I'm
you know, there was
sorry.
Not
–
in the last specific place we had, you couldn't pull right to the sidewalk.
Mm-hmm.
The ones before that, you could. But the last one, you know, was like the thoroughfare.
Yeah.
And then the parking started. We would tell people, you know, if you come, you can pull up. You know, walk in the door and say, hey, I've got a machine out here, and we will help you.
Right.
Yeah, it was amazing who asked us to carry in machines when that was always kind of a shocker.
Well, like, and you never know what's going on with
somebody. Somebody definitely could have a health issue or a back issue.
And sometimes
there was like somebody that was 6'4" that looked real muscular, you know, that was out like while you were carrying the machine and opened the hood of their car and started working on it. And I go,
you never know what's going on with somebody.
Try not to judge.
It's also, though, some people I could judge and say, you needed to ask me because you're about to stroke out. Like,
we would have people come in that we thought were going to die.
I had to sit someone down in a chair and I said, please
before.
Do not carry this in. Like, I mean, this was like a medical emergency. Anyway, so.
And Mallory will tell you, I get really mad when I have to call 911 in the middle of a work day.
That's
right. Really, really interrupts.
Especially
on a club day.
That's right. It's cramps our style. So we, you know, bringing that machine in and talking about the service, that's what we were about to talk about.
Right.
We had something called a bench charge or a, what do we call? No. Estimate. Oh, it was called something. I just lost it.
Was it a bench? We called it a bench charge. Is that what we called it on our
form?
No,
that's not what it was called. It was called something else, and I can't remember what it was called. But you could get this, like, service estimate. So this was for the people with the you know, machine from the garage sale or the machine of unknown origin or you didn't know when the last time it had been serviced. And people are like, I just want to know how much it is to get cleaned.
Right.
This was, I think, $45. Okay. Mm-hmm. So if, you know, our tech put it on the bench and took it all apart to give you this estimate, he'd done almost half a service, you know, our tech had. So then he'd say, hey, I think it'll be good with a clean oil adjust, or it'll be good with a COA and a $50 part, $10 part, da-da-da-da-da. What we would then do is if you went to go ahead and get it serviced, we'd waive that
Waived that bench charge.
And then you just had to pay for the service. So it wasn't like bench charge on top of, you know, things. But I think when when I say people got confused, I don't think they were confused. I think they were ticked that they were going to get charged and perhaps the machine would not be working when they left. So if the tech got in there and said, hey, this old machine that has a metal housing but has all these crumbling nylon gears would cost hundreds of dollars to fix, people wouldn't like that.
I wish I could have, like, we need to take a picture of your face and written crumbling nylon gears vein, underneath it. Yeah.
The vein.
In that all metal machine.
The vein popping out of my neck there.
Right.
So the people would be like, oh, I have to pay $45 and it's not fixed. And it's like, well, is.
But I only paid $20 for it at the garage sale.
Right.
Again, I was not there to help you make that decision.
That's like when that lady brought me a washcloth to embroider and I told her it'd be $8 to embroider. And she said, I only paid $4 for the washcloth. And I was like, well, now it'll be a $12 washcloth.
And the embroidery cost $8.
I was just like, I don't know
what to say. And the embroidery cost
$8. I don't know what to say to you.
And the embroidery cost $8.
Yeah. So anyway, that service charge, that bench charge, was something that we could do to get an estimate.
Right.
So if a dealer has that, that's why. Because maybe you can't complete that clean oil adjust if you're a tech.
Right.
You know, and we would kind of say, this would be the minimum that you'd get charged if things were iffy.
Right.
We'd always interview people about the machine.
Well,
you know?
And, you know, I mean, everybody runs their business differently. Mm-hmm. And there are different reasons. And please ask. You know, if you don't understand and you're getting mad about a charge or something that wasn't done, you need to say in a nice, nice way, you know, could you explain this to me? I just don't understand. You know, don't intimidate somebody because of the way they're trying to run their business till you find out how they're doing it.
We're coming at this from the dealer perspective. We, of course, think that we were doing everything that we could. And I do want to give a disclaimer because this comes up every time we do a podcast like this, is that some people are like, I ran into a business and it was not run nicely.
And that happens too. That's why I say start out nice. You can get mean later.
Yeah.
And I guess here's the other thing I was going to say. Oftentimes, if Mallory and I could not bench check the machine before it went in, like out front, because we were the ones that looked at it and sort of decided what it needed and described the problem, and you know, the tech got that piece of paper, sometimes we were busy and we weren't checking it in. Okay.
Right.
And sometimes even one of our clerical people would have to check it in if we were really busy. And it was that the needle was in backwards or it, you know, or not. And our tech might find that and not charge you at all.
In fact,
now, not every business will do that.
No.
Okay. Or he'd say, I'm just putting $10 on it. It, you know, I was busy. It took my time. I'm putting 10. And that was usually, you know, that charge was often up to him. Our tech was an independent contractor.
Right.
Okay, so he made the money off of his service, us.
I think we maybe even had a tech who sometimes should have charged for things he didn't charge
for. Sometimes we would even say, why are you not charging more? Because that took your time.
Right. Yes. Now, this was up to him, like you said, independent contractor. Right. But if we could find, if he found, oh my gosh, it was just that this thing wasn't plugged in right. Or that,
needle, it's the wrong cord, you know.
Needle in backwards, something like that. And the machine looked clean.
Right.
He would often not charge.
If he didn't have a recommendation farther than she needs to learn, please sit down. Or he would say, you need to sit down with Zeta or Mallory so they can show you how to put the needle in.
Right, right.
You know, or he would recommend, when you pick your, you know, he would call them or email them and say, when you come in, someone needs to show you how to change your needle.
Right.
You know, and sometimes he would not charge for that at all. What I'm saying is he's got a right to.
Yeah.
He has a right to, and that's what I meant
definitely.
About, you know, and everybody runs their business differently. Sometimes we were into too much goodwill, I think. But, you know,
it's a balancing
act. If he charges $10, he has a right to, because he could have made money on a machine that really needed service with that time
right.
he took to, you know, fool around with your machine.
That's right. So in time, I mean, that's what we are all trading on.
You're buying his expertise.
Right.
Nothing else.
Right.
The parts are different.
Oh, and I just, real quick disclaimer here before we take a break. Our tech was a he. We keep saying he.
Yeah.
But we have a really good story about a tech who was a she, right?
Yes.
At a dealership. We're actually still pretty good friends with this this dealership owner.
Right.
I won't say her name.
She's retired now.
She's retired. Congratulations. But she had a partner who was her tech, right? Like, her business partner was her tech. Weren't they partners?
No,
in business?
No.
Oh, she was
I think she was an independent contractor.
Oh, okay.
But they were really good friends, too.
They were really good friends. We knew her very well, too. And people would come in and make the assumption, of course,
right,
that the tech was a man.
Right.
So they'd say, hey, I want to talk to the man who fixes machines,
that's
you
right.
know. And of course, it's a woman, so that's who they get to talk to. And so as a gag gift one year, the dealer got the tech an apron with, well, let's just simplify the story, okay?
Oh, no, I want to tell the better part of the story.
Okay,
go ahead.
Well, the dealer found in her mother's stuff.
While she had to put her mother in a, you know, care facility.
Yes.
So she's cleaning out her mother's stuff.
And this mother would have been, like, this woman's your age. And so her mother would have
Oh, no, her mother was well into her 80s.
Yes. So she finds an
apron. So probably born in, like, 1925.
There you go.
Yeah.
She finds an apron with...
Two aprons.
There
was a set.
A set with the...
genitalia.
Anatomies depicted very clearly on them.
Right.
It was a photograph, right?
Right. Okay. No. It was, like, stuffed. It was like an appliqué.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes. It moved around and you could touch it.
Oh, my. She finds...
And it had hair and things.
Oh, my. She finds these things in the attic, and so she gave the one with
the male genitalia.
Male genitalia to her tech.
To her tech.
And she said that you should wear this when they ask for the man who services the sewing.
That's right.
So this is just a funny real-life
story. We had a picture of it at one time.
Funny real-life story that happened in our world. Okay, let's take a little break here. Hey, everybody. It's Mallory. Hearing your message break, and I just want to make an announcement or a disclaimer or whatever we're supposed to call it, that we are going to start using affiliate links as a way to get support for the podcast and for our website and everything like that. Mom, do you know what an affiliate link is?
Okay, she's affiliating me with something and I have no idea what this is about.
Yeah, I totally, like, used, you know, our tax ID number to, you know, da-da. So what an affiliate link is...
I'm going to wind up, like, in jail and not know what I'm being charged with. Is that right?
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
No, because we're disclaiming it right now.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Affiliate links...
I'll just need a lawyer.
Yes.
I won't go to jail.
Yes,
okay.
Yes, and we'll make money from the affiliate links to pay for the lawyer.
So, that ZD's going to need to keep her butt out of jail.
No, we're doing it all right. Okay, so here's the deal. Affiliate links are links that we post that maybe to Amazon or to other products on other platforms. And when you click through and you buy things on Amazon or you subscribe to something, you know, that we're an affiliate for, we get a kickback. Okay.
Oh, we make money?
Yeah, we make a little bit of money. And what's really cool about the Amazon thing is, you know, we make the kickback on everything you buy. So
if they buy a refrigerator, I can make money on it?
That is correct.
Hey, everybody, buy a refrigerator.
No, we're not. Okay, so that's something we're not supposed to do, right?
Oh, we're not supposed to. So now I am going to wind up in jail.
So the terms of service, though, I just want to let you all know, is that we have to disclaim, like, hey, we're an affiliate for this or this. You know, when we share this tracing paper from Amazon that has free shipping, this is an affiliate link. You need to know that I am not just innocently recommending this. And we will get a kickback on that. So you're going to see some of those in the group. It's never going to be... crap that we don't
I was going to say,
like,
even though we could endorse crap.
We won't.
We're not going. We're actually going to maintain our ethics.
Yes.
Okay.
And we're going to find you things at places that ship fast. We're going to recommend products that we really enjoy using. If you've ever ordered something from us, you may have noticed that Mallory's not the most organized shipper and packer. So we are going to play to our strengths and really focus on creating the podcasts, the videos, the online classes, and allow other businesses that are really good at shipping things to ship things to you. So just be aware that we will be using those affiliate links. There are lots of ways to let you know. I can just say this is an affiliate link, or sometimes people use hashtags, and I've been getting really creative and using, and it's been a lot of fun already in the group. So just heads up, we're going to be doing that. And if you click on an affiliate link, know that if you purchase something, you'll be supporting SewHere.com, and we so appreciate it.
Good idea, Mal.
Sewing out loud.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, the tech gets the machine back, or wherever. Like we said, ours stayed. Our machine stayed.
Right, ours stayed on the premises. And you can ask them that. Does my machine stay on the premises? And some have a mix of that. Yep. Some of them, you know, if they're a dealership, those specific machines they sell may stay on the premises. But if they service other machines that are not the ones that they sell, those may go
somewhere.
Right. They may go off campus
and
to someplace
I'll just
else.
Say,
and there's nothing wrong with that.
It's hard to find a tech. It's hard to be a sewing machine dealer, okay? There are lots of challenges. It's not
I've
like
I've never met a rich sewing machine dealer.
There's one who owns like all of them in the tri-state area,
that's true.
Right? That's difficult, okay? When you find somebody who wants to be a sewing machine tech, you're like, oh great, you know. So I don't know if the machine has to leave, it might not be because, you know, like the dealer wants to
right.
inconvenience you or something. It might be their only option.
They might not even have the square footage.
All those things.
There's
right.
lots of things. But you can ask that. Is my machine going to stay here or leave? If it does leave, you say, how do you track that?
Yep. There you
go. How do you keep track of my machine? Mm-hmm. Now, I thought, pretty good about that. We showed them how we labeled the machine right in front of them.
Right.
We put down serial numbers. We listed what was with them and what wasn't with them. If there was something that was with it that we didn't need to look, we tried to send it back home with them.
Yes.
Some dealerships do not want big carrying cases mm-hmm. with the machines because there's no place to put them. Another thing is if you have a machine and a piece of furniture, and it's an old type machine that is bolted into that piece of furniture, they don't want the furniture.
And you can take it out.
And it does come
now,
out.
I am having
and if you say, no, it doesn't, I will tell you, yes, it does.
Okay, I'm having a flashback to saying that on the podcast. I hope we haven't done this podcast before. But I would show people how to take that out.
We might have said that before.
I know. I just hope we haven't done this before. Okay, so.
Oh, my gosh. If we're making, like, a podcast we can't use, I'm going to shoot myself. Go ahead.
The tech gets the machine to their workspace or whatever, and they start to clean it. And please don't bring a machine somewhere that has, like, dog urine on it.
Yes.
Or like, cat vomit.
Or any type of feces, including roach feces.
Like, yeah, anything, any waste product.
You can wipe that off.
You can
off.
Wipe your machine off.
Yes.
I think that. That made me sad. It made me sad and angry when someone would come in the store and put a machine up on the counter and say,
and they would tell you, oh, my dog peed on this. And you could tell it wasn't wiped
on this. And I'd say, then you need to please put that on the floor.
Right.
And, you know, no, that is not nice.
I did actually one time have someone take the machine back outside and I gave her a rag and some, Windex and said, you need to wipe this off. I cannot ask my tech to touch this.
That's not nice.
And I don't want somebody else's feces, like, in my store.
No, and we're not exaggerating.
And I'm telling you guys, you know, we would get machines and we would, like, you know, lift up the power pedal and roaches would crawl out.
It could happen.
It's creepy.
It could happen. So it didn't happen all the time, but that's not nice, okay? Don't do that to people.
I bet those people are not listening.
No, probably not.
Okay, so if we have repeated this podcast, this happens to be version 2018.
That's right. That's right. So... the casing, I'm saying casing, you say housing, I'm sorry. The housing needs to be cleaned.
Right.
And a lot of times it's really nice to do that when it's off the machine. Okay. Right. So a tech will be cleaning that housing inside and out, keeping all the screws and everything together, getting it completely naked, and cleaning it first before oiling it. Right.
That's right.
Checking to see if there's rust or any other damage. There are things that a tech can see right away. And I know that there are people who I've thought were pretty familiar with their machines, and I could open up just even part of it and say, oh, look at this.
Right.
You know, did you... there's a hole in your bobbin case.
Right.
Like, the tech and I could see things like that. You could see things like that. And then you start to put the machine back together, right?
That's right.
And then you test it.
That's right.
And you, the tech will test the machine. This is where you can give some information at the check-in point, too. You can say, I was sewing on this with this thread.
Right.
And it wasn't working. Right. Or it jammed up or something like that.
Or if you bring your machine in and say, it never works with metallic thread. I want it to work. You better bring that thread.
Bring that thread.
That thread.
That
bring
thread.
Bring exactly what you were using with exactly the needle you were using.
And our tech was a prolific tester.
And he also was a sewer.
He was. And he would test on lots of things. Mm-hmm. And he would say, hey, what kind of metallic threads do you have out there?
Right.
You know, what can you give me? Or something like that. And I'd give him things to test on. But it is kind of impossible to test every single possibility.
Bring the one you can bring the fabric, you can bring the thread, you bring the needle, you bring the situation that you
the situation.
Want. The situation that you want to be dealt with. And there were some times he would say to someone, I don't think this machine is really going to do this for you.
Yeah, that's possible.
You know, and he said, this is as good as I can get it to work. It does all, you know, it does things 1 through 9, but it's not going to do number 10.
That's quite possible. That's a very good point. And I thought that I thought he was pretty good about that.
Now, he was.
Someone in the group posted about a not so satisfactory repair experience, and they said that the technician did not show them a zigzag on their machine. Mm-hmm. We always gave out a test strip that had stitches on it. Okay. It was a woven, it would show balance, you know.
And so what usually you would get was a straight stitch, a zigzag stitch, and sometimes a satin stitch.
And like a couple of decorative stitches or something like that. So
If it was a stitch you would specifically ask about, that would be on there.
And embroidery, maybe a buttonhole sometimes.
Sometimes a buttonhole. And if it was an embroidery unit, you know, you would get an embroidery sample.
That's right. You'd get all those samples, and that was going to show you, hey, you know, the machine was, you know, doing this. So I think that is an important part. Now, there were like 2 instances where someone like accused us. They said, this sample wasn't made on my machine.
Yeah. What machine did you make this on? My machine's never looked this good. And we're like, so what we would do is we would take the machine over to the classroom and we would say, okay, let's go over there and see if it does this. Now, you would think that would make most people happy.
And sometimes,
it didn't.
Sometimes it did, sometimes it didn't.
Sometimes they were mad, and sometimes they told us they knew how to sew, and they weren't going to sit down with us. So everybody's different.
No, and so I will say, sometimes people would be like, oh my gosh, this has never looked this good. I'm so pleased.
Right.
Most
of the time, everybody was happy.
Honestly. Yes.
It was just those ones that would stick out. Like,
but I just thought when someone accused us one time of not actually testing their serger because he didn't leave it threaded or something. And I thought, why would you –
we always left it threaded. We didn't leave the thread cones on. So they wanted us to give them new thread,
I guess
with their service. Because we always left it – he always left it threaded, but the, you know, he would
well,
tie
I don't
it
know.
Off.
I don't know what happened in this particular situation. Right. But I just thought, man, you know, if some store is going through the trouble of like really trying to rip people off like that, I hope it doesn't last long.
I was
you know,
say,
I,
and I man, you know, that takes a lot of trouble.
Well, no, I guess it wouldn't take a lot of trouble to just, like, give somebody their machine back.
Oh, yeah.
That wasn't what we were doing, you know. So that's very interesting.
A lot of times, I know on a serger, what he would do is he would actually leave the sample
attached,
like, with the needles in. Mm-hmm. So I think that might have happened once when he was accused of doing something, like, you know, a different way. But he would leave it, like, as the stitch was in process.
So you need a test, and if you so it's a sewing machine, you do you need a zigzag stitch if it zigzags.
Absolutely.
You need to see that because
and then a satin stitch will show you your balance usually.
Yeah. A straight stitch won't always show you tension issues.
No.
You know, sometimes I think we've mentioned this before, people are like, "Oh, that older machine did the perfect straight stitch," and it's like, "Oh, that's all it did." You know.
Yeah, well, and your memory might not be as good as you think.
Yeah, that's possible.
You know, when I go back to my grade school, it's so much smaller than it was when I was there. And they've added on.
Now, test stitching and test stitching should not be a problem.
No.
Okay, for the tech, because I want to just bring this up. This is something you might not see. A lot of computerized machines have test programs in them for the tech. There's,
and sometimes you might get a sample. That's a sample you might get back. Is that test program?
Yeah, sometimes it looks like a circle with a triangle.
I've seen nines.
Yeah, all sorts of things
in a row, like stitched out nines. You see circles and or triangles. Is it or
it's
squares?
Like a circle that has a triangle out of it, like
right?
Like a chick. Okay, like like a baby chick. Okay, is what it looks like, or a keyhole or something.
It could sometimes be one of your decorative stitches that you recognize.
So a technician, this is something you might not know, you might never need to do this, but there are certain parts of your machine, if it's computerized, that you can't access, and you like hold certain buttons while you turn it on,
right.
And it allows the tech to access and properly calibrate computerized parts of the machine to test out afterwards to say, hey, is this balance right? So if you're like, why am I paying for this person's time? Oh, they, you know, they know how to do that stuff, right? The other thing is take your machine, if you can, to an authorized dealer.
And I will add, try and take it to the same place if you like them. If you feel, I mean, generally, you know, you like a dealer. That's a dealer you go to. You take, I mean, you develop a relationship with a dealer,
right.
Almost like a person. And why I say this is we kept track.
Yeah.
We knew when your machine came in. We knew what had been done to it.
Right.
Okay. So when you came in and said, it's the same thing that's happening, we could go back and look at that. And we could figure out if it was the same thing or not.
Right.
The other thing is people would come in and say, my machine's just not working right. And I had it serviced here, and it hasn't worked right since, you know. And anyway, we had a disclaimer that you did have to bring it back within 30 days if that was your complaint.
Oh, this is a great tip. So
okay.
Yeah.
Take it home and sew with it.
Great.
I don't care if you're making a, you know, doing something or not. But when you bring it back 18 months later and tell me, nothing's happened to it, you know, you haven't dropped it or whatever, or blah, 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 or nobody else has sewn on it, or, you know, and this is, that's really hard for me to swallow, okay?
Well, we can't.
And if I honored that on everybody that said that, you know, I'm swallowing the cost because I already paid so don't do that. And here's the other thing. People would say, I just had this in and it's not sewing
right.
And we would go back. And we could look at the history, and it hadn't been in for 3 years sometimes. I mean, they weren't lying. They just didn't remember.
And that's,
time flies. You know, in the meantime, their son got married, and their daughter graduated from college,
right.
And they went for a trip in Europe. It did seem like they had just
been
there.
I mean, I told Derek, I was like, Derek, we just got those tires on our car. He's like, no, that's like 6 years ago.
Okay. I swear it would be something that my husband, I will say.
Jerry's got that habit, doesn't he?
Yeah, I will say we need. You know, while you're at the store, pick up some dishwashing detergent. And he goes, oh, there's a whole bunch in the garage. And I'm like, that was 2 years ago.
There you go.
Yeah.
So when we would have staff meetings, I'm like, really great ideas. When you're on the phone with the customer and they're talking about sewing machine repair, just look up their history.
Right.
Because you can automatically right then say, oh, it hasn't been in for this long. Or, oh, yeah, it has only been like, you know, 2 weeks or something. And so that was really helpful. So do go home and sew on it right away. This is for your welfare, for the tech's welfare, all that jazz.
The other thing about sewing on it right away is, you know, okay, we signed in what presser foot you brought, what power cord you brought, all these things, right? Go home. When you go home and you sew on that machine, you're also, if you haven't checked it well when you took it out, you know you got that presser foot back. You know you got your power cord back. You know you got those things back when you took it home. Whether you got them home or didn't get them home, calling back 6 months later and saying, I no longer have my power cord.
It's impossible.
It means nothing.
Track. Yeah.
Where, you know.
I want to go back to the authorized dealer thing.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And I'll just.
But stick with that authorized dealer.
Yeah. I'll just, you know, drop the brand names here. So, you know, Baby Lock is one of our sponsors. We were Baby Lock exclusive dealer. And, you know, a lot of people think they're really close to brothers, right? And they can look very similar. Sometimes they license certain parts of the technology the two companies do.
Right, they share technology.
But we would have people who said, I went and got my machine serviced by a brother tech, and it would come back not in good working order. Now, that's not saying something necessarily about brother. Might be saying something about that tech.
Right.
You know, and I'm not saying it could be in a different town. It could be anywhere. But they just because they look the same doesn't mean they're the same inside. We know this for sure. And actually, we would not service top of the line other brands.
Right.
We wouldn't service the super duper computerized, like Vikings.
Boffs.
You know, brothers and things
Singers.
Like that. And people would come in and say, no, brothers the same as Baby Lock. And we're like, nope, you get in there and things are different and the parts are not always necessarily compatible.
And especially the high-end electronics and computerized things, the boards are different. They are not the same. And they're, you know, they're patented. They're, you know, they're exclusive to that company.
And it might be a small difference.
A very small difference.
It can be very important.
It can actually look the same almost, on inspection.
We had a customer who was away. She had her Alissimo, okay? Mm-hmm. And she was away at a retreat. And she had her machine. And the dealer she was at was not a Baby Lock dealer. I don't know what dealership they were.
Uh-huh.
But something went wrong with her machine, and she let them service it, and they did the plug in the circuit board thing
backwards.
Wrong.
Yeah.
And so she, I think part of her thing was like, I didn't want to wait to come home because you guys had a 2 week turnaround.
Guess how long she couldn't use her machine.
And certain things were just off, and then more things got messed up.
Right.
So that was what was wrong. It's not like, you know.
So that's what happens. Sometimes if you plug a circuit board in wrong, it doesn't hurt the circuit board, but the machine will mechanically work in a different way, and then it starts hurting other parts.
Yeah, so if you can, keep that dealer. Now, we know that we're talking about a fantasy world where you have a dealer you love.
And everything works out perfectly.
Yeah, so if you do, and we were just talking in the group, someone was talking about purchasing machines and researching, and they said, you know, there's this one dealer who I really love.
Right.
And I'm really connecting with them. And I thought, then
that might be it.
The right dealer for you, you know.
And, you know, of course, I'll tell everybody to buy a Baby Lock.
Right.
But your dealer relationship is so important.
Very important.
And knowing they're there and knowing they back their product, it's very important. And if you live 400 miles from a Baby Lock dealer, I don't know.
It might not be sustainable.
I don't know if I can say that's the best product for you.
It might not be sustainable, possibly.
Especially if there's another dealer down the road.
Right.
You know.
Well, I think we've gone into professional service and what we did and maybe what you can expect.
Okay, let me look at my notes because I stopped looking at them to make other notes.
So I wrote
something down.
Well, you look. So what you can expect in terms of turnaround time, why things might cost, quote, so much.
This is a good one.
Did we miss something?
If you are under warranty and a non-authorized dealer opens your machine and it comes back with a circuit board, where an authorized dealer can open your machine and certainly tell that someone has opened it or something, it could be void.
Your warranty could be void.
Your warranty could be void. If you open your machine and do something, it can be void. Now, here's another deal, everybody. Because you buy your machine from me and I give you another type of warranty on top of the manufacturer's warranty, right? Mm-hmm. I'm saying in our store, we extend this and we do this. We give free yearly service for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And say that's not associated with the Baby Lock company.
Or whatever company.
Right. Whatever company. You know, I said Baby Lock because that's what we were. That doesn't go at the other Baby Lock dealer.
Mm-hmm.
They're all independent dealers.
Well, and just to highlight, not to cause any confusion.
Right.
Baby Lock does have extended warranties.
They have an extended, but it's associated with Baby Lock. It has their logo on it. You'll get a copy of it. It will be explained to you. There is sometimes a charge for it, or the dealer will tell you that it is included.
Yep.
Then you can go to any authorized Baby Lock dealer. But it has to be associated with Baby Lock. That dealer may also say, well, I will give you a birthday party every year.
Mm-hmm.
The day you bought your machine, I'll bring you in and we'll have cake and coffee and we'll talk about your wonderful sewing experiences for the rest of your life because you bought your machine with me. That might not work at another Baby Lock dealer.
You might not get your birthday party.
That, you might not get it.
Okay, so just, warranties are something that's good to keep in mind. And, you know, on those big computerized machines, be careful about getting in there. That's just not...
Well, you paid a lot for your machine, and then you're going to avoid like $100 service fee or something.
The machines
it doesn't make a lot of sense, guys.
Yeah, the machines I'm thinking about are upwards of $5,000. I just would take it into the store, you know. Yeah. Okay, well, you can find us on Instagram at ZD Sewing Studio, and you can email me at Mallory@sewhere.com, and thanks for listening.
So long and so happy.
Thanks for listening to Sewing Out Loud. For even more expert sewing advice, visit sewhere.com.